the daily racing podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50pm. Chester, Newbury, Market Raisin and Galway are the four meetings. There's listed races at both Chester and Newbury. It's jumps action at Market Raisin and it's the final day of this year's Galway Festival. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yeah, good, thank you, Mark. It's been a great week already, isn't it? And Well, we'll certainly have something to reflect on when it's all over.
Yes, next week's Monday jury will be very interesting because I'm sure it'll be reflecting on that. While we've got chance, Mick, obviously we're recording this before Saturday's action, so we can't talk about the Nassau or the Stewards' Cup, but what's been your highlight so far at Glorious Goodwood?
I think it's just the way that as much the good horses have really made the meeting, haven't they? And you know what a week the Hannon team have had, haven't they? Absolutely tremendous stuff. And great to see horses like Toronado and De Monte Ridge getting there. You know, just reward for some really good solid efforts all season. But it's been a great week all round, I think. And one got away from me yesterday in the King George Stakes Movie Star. I saw a run at York last week, and I thought put a star next to that. I thought that won't be long before it's winning a big race, and of course lo and behold it goes and pops up yesterday under Paul, and I somehow contrived to miss it. There you go.
Yeah, impressive Movie Star. He's very consistent, isn't he? He's always there and thereabouts in those kind of races.
Absolutely, so. Yeah.
And early in the week you've touched on Toronado, the jewel on the downs, actually living up to its name this time. Dawn Approach and Toronado with a great battle, and it's turned into a nice little series between those two, isn't it? If we see them again it'll be just as interesting.
Yes, I thought it didn't go quite right for Dawn Approach, did it? The first furlong with his pacemaker missing the break and taking ages to get to the front.
Yeah,
Kevin Manning was in between a rock and a hard place, wasn't he? Where to be in the race, whereas Hughesy knew exactly where he was going to be. I think the first furlong was crucial there to the eventual outcome. But also, Mark, don't forget, these horses are racing at Group 1 level. Group 1 races take their toll, don't they? I mean, look at Dawn Approach. May, 2,000 guineas. June, Derby and St James's Palace. July, Goodwood. Mm. Whereas Toronado has followed the same path, except he missed out on Epsom, didn't he?
Yeah.
And it didn't look at Ascot as though it looked as though he'd shrugged Epsom off. Mm. But
still very quick, wasn't it, after?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it all adds up. And it also, another little I just thought Toronado handled the track better. I never thought he looked comfortable on the track. I'm not making excuses for him. He's run his race, and it's great to see these two so closely matched. Two very good horses. I mean, they're also, you know, what's it all about? But these three-year-olds with top-class older horses in the race, but they just blew them away, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they are both very, very good. They're the best of the three-year-olds, without a shadow of a doubt. The mile and a half lot can't get out of each other's way, can they? But but these two are in a different league. I don't approach. We'll be back. I hope we don't see him again till September. Hope they just give him time to recover from his early mid-season exertions, and let's maybe see them both back for the QE2 or something like that.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
And again, you know, something to look forward to again. Just, I think it's just a combination of factors, those that I've touched on. But Toronado certainly deserved his day in the spotlight, and he got it, didn't he? Aided and abetted by a brilliant ride from Hughesy, whose game plan was obvious. He didn't want to get in an eyeball-to-eyeball with Dawn Approach.
Yeah.
And brought him wide, and it worked, didn't it? Didn't give him a chance to fight back. Brilliant stuff.
Yeah, great ride. And as much as I like Dawn Approach, it is good to see Toronado get the prize as well, at least once, because he deserved it, didn't he? If he'd have always been the bridesmaid, it wouldn't have done him justice.
Yeah, and amazingly enough, they clocked a faster time than Frankel, didn't
they? Yeah, apparently so, yeah.
Which was
but the race was already done, wasn't it, with Frankel and Camford Cliffs?
Well, I suppose it was, yeah. But, Yeah, the clock doesn't always tell the full story, does it?
No.
But visually, it was a great horse race and great to see, as I say, Tornado getting his place in the sun. But again, full credit to Dawn Approach for turning up again and putting in another mighty effort at Group 1 level. And, you know, considering he was winning the Guineas in May, they've kept his level of form, especially with going to Epsom and all that happened to him there, etc.
Yeah.
Yeah, tremendous stuff. Two very good horses.
Yes. Two very good horses indeed, and it's been a great week at Goodwood. So we'll probably reflect on the whole week because we haven't done Saturday's action yet. So we'll come on to that later on in the week. But we're going to look ahead to Sunday's action now. We've got racing at Chester and Newbury on the flat, and market raising over jumps. We'll also hear from the Irish Sons, Declan O'Donoghue. He's going to give us his best bets on the final day of the Galway Festival, which reaches day 7 on Sunday. It seems to have been going on for a long time. Chester and Newbury, the Mick. We'll start with the card at Chester, and then we'll move on to the card at Newbury. We'll do it that way. And the 2:30 at Chester is the first you've picked out, which is a mile handicap. Well, it's a mile, seven furlongs and 122 yards.
Yeah, 100 yards short, isn't it? But I'll start with a description. I think he's probably going to take a chunk out of the betting. Bolted up in a mile handicap at Goodwood on Tuesday, and I think they've thought, well, we better go under the penalty before the handicapper gets to grips with him.
Yeah.
But he's fared very badly with the draw, I'm afraid. He's landed box 13, which for me gives him a mountain to climb. He is lightly raced enough to be open to improvement, but that draw is a real steadier. So I've looked elsewhere. Gramercy's interesting. Kieran Fallon riding for Dave Simcock, runs in the Dr. Kulkash colours, who we know loves his horses to run at Chester. He's got a good draw in 3. I saw him run at York the other day, Mark. He finished, I know he only finished 10th, but there were a line abreast across the track, and he could have easily been 5th, if you know what I mean. And he was beaten 5 lengths in that race won by Tropic. So it was a warm order for the Stewards' Cup, as we speak, which hasn't been run yet, of course. And that wasn't a bad effort at all. And he's £4 lower than his last win. And his last 10 runs have all been, well, 9 of them have been in Class 2, and one of them in Class 1. And he's down into Class 3 here, off a mark of 88 from a good draw. Got to go on the short list. But the one I'm going to go for is Day of the Eagle, trained by Mick Easterby. Graham Gibbons takes the ride. He's 1-for-1 here at Chester, and he's got a good drawing four, and they put the visor on for the first time. And even though his marks just crept up a little this season following that win at Newcastle in June, he's run well since. And running off 76th, when you think that his highest winning mark for his former connections was 84, he's still well in this horse. And with that 1-for-1 at Chester with the first time headgear from the good draw has just swayed me towards Day of the Eagle. Okay. So he gets the vote in the 2:30.
Okay.
There'll be a price as well.
Yeah, should be each way bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. The 3:05 at Chester, then. This is the Winter Wonderland Queensferry Stakes, which is the listed race. It's over 6 furlongs and some nice runners in this. What do you want to start with, Mick?
Let's start with the top one, Hitchens. So he's got the group penalty. He won the Group 3 Greenland Stakes in the Curragh for the second time in 3 years back in May. Disappointed slightly in the Wokingham, but the Wokingham was a very high-class race, you know, and he carried a biggish weight in that, and I wouldn't read too much into that. He's fed okay with the draw in 5, and he's a definite player. Ballista. Now, Ballista's interesting. Coming back from a 71-day break, course and distance winner here at Chester. Unplaced in the Temple Stakes last time we saw Ballista, but very speedy front runner. 2-for-4 here at Chester. The stable in good form, good winner at Goodwood in the week, and has gone close after similar breaks in the past. So the 71-day absence is not a problem. And I think I was going to go for Excellet, who's the third one I'm going to talk about. Excellet, trained by Brian Smart, of course, won the King George with Movie Star at Goodwood on Friday. Has run over 5 furlongs for its last 9 starts, but absolutely no problem with the trip. It's got good form over 7 this filly. And as I say, Brian had a good winner at Goodwood on Friday, and I saw Excellet go very close in a 3-way go at York the other day. Joao, I think, won the race and ran very well doing her best work close home, came from somewhere off the pace. The only thing that puts me off Excellet is the draw. He's drawn 10 of 12. Well, they've gone lickety split round here with Movie Star in there with Ballista in the race, and I just wonder if the draw's going to scupper her. I certainly wouldn't rule her out, but with the draw, I'm just going to give the vote to Ballista.
Okay, one more in there that I would have been interested in had it not been drawn in 12 was Soul, because he's glad he's trading in much better company than this.
Well, he ran in the Diamond Jubilee on his comeback run.
Yeah,
we don't know where he's going to go from there, but he's a very decent horse at his best, and but 12 with that question mark over the comeback run, where he didn't really put up much show, to be fair.
No.
But he is a high-class horse, and he's the highest-rated runner in the race, is Soul. But I'd like to have seen a bit more at Royal Ascot.
Yep. Mm. OK, then. Over to Newbury we go for the next two races, the first of which is the 3:15. And this is a nursery of 7 furlongs. And we've got three very unexposed runners at the top of the weights in this: Downturn, Cricklewood Green and Nazar, all coming here on the back of wins. There's only Downturn who's had two starts. The other two have had one start, so could be open to anything, any of those.
Absolutely. Downturn has shown ability on both starts. My slight concern, Mark, when I looked at the form of the Sandown win, was Big Prices chased him home, 25s, 33s, etc., with the second favourite. I think it was a Godolphin horse that made second favourite against him. Just never turned up. So I just don't know how good the form was. Visually, it was very impressive, and we know he's OK. Judges on his debut run. And Richard Hughes prefers him to their other one, which is Cricklewood Green, who I thought did nothing wrong at Salisbury at the end of June, beating Truth or Dare, and that one's come out and won since. So he must fancy Downturn if he prefers that to Cricklewood Green. But I'm going to take them both hand and pair on with Nezar. William Bewitt rides for William Haggas. Ran very green. Didn't look as though he was going to get there a furling out, but he showed a really good attitude to when the penny dropped close home. And he ran out to a game winner. Up in trip is sure to suit him, stepping up from 6 to 7. And the runner-up in that Winter Maiden, Smart Salute, bolted up at even money at Redcar the other day. I know he was entitled to win, but he won like an even money shot, suggesting that the form is solid and that the mark of Nezar, 76, is not out of the way.
Yep.
It can only improve for that and for the step-up in trip, plus the experience he gained at Windsor. So I'm going to give the vote to Nezar.
He was back to then as well, 10s into 6s before his debut, so that's not a good sign, isn't it?
Yeah, and he showed a good attitude as well.
Yeah. OK then, and the final race we're going to look at is the 3:50 at Newbury. This is the Chalice Stakes, which is a filly's listed race over a mile and a half. What do you like here, Mick?
Yeah, this is a good one, isn't it, for the fillies? We've got quite a few three-year-olds, and the three-year-olds get the weight for age allowance. We've got 6 3-year-olds. I think the best of the 3-year-olds might be Spicy Dal, who was trained by Huey Morris and Sylvester D'Souza taking the ride. Was second of 9 to Crook Rialta in a course listed last time. That was over 10 furlongs. And looking as if this step up will suit. So she gets the vote of the 3-year-old, Spicy Dal. The older horse is Seal of Approval, has got to be respected. That Kempton form of last time on a seasonal reappearance has been franked. Bishop Rocco, who finished third in that, went on to win at Ascot. She's got to make the progress from winning off 88 in a Kempton handicap to winning a listed against horses rated, to be honest, the highest rated in the race is 103. And that's tentative. That's Songbird, who won a 3-runner handicap last time, and handicap hit her with £11 at that, so that's why she's off 103 for Lady Cecil, is unbeaten. I'm just not sure, about those two. I mean, Songbird looks a very exciting prospect, but and she has got an entry in the Yorkshire Oaks, but I think she's going to get massively over bet.
And that's hard to judge for the 3-runner race, isn't it, when she did bolt up, though.
She did, but I just feel the value might be Spicy Dal, Mark. So I'll make her my tentative each way selection.
Okay.
Because she's going to be 6, 7, 8 to 1, isn't she?
Yeah.
So we'll go with her and hope that she You know, she will improve with the step up in trip, I'm sure. So, we'll go for Spicy Dal.
Okay. That's the four races, and let's have a quick summary, if you will, mate, before you go.
Yeah, hopefully they'll all be decent prices. Mark, in the 2:30 at Chester, we're going for Day of the Eagle to maintain his unbeaten record at the track. In the 3:05, the Speedball Ballista, who's 2 from 4 at Chester. Let's hope she can make it 3 from 5. At Newbury, in the nursery, I liked the attitude Nazar showed on his debut at Windsor, where he was nibbled at, and I think the handicapper is pretty fair with him, giving him a mark of 76, considering the runner-up bobbled it up at even money next time. And the listed at Newbury, the 3:50, it's quite tricky with the generation battle here, and with Songbird likely to take a big chunk out of the market, I'm going to take a chance with the three-year-old Spicy Dollar. Does get the £11 weight for age.
Okay, good stuff, Mick. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Sunday.
I will do, Mark. Thank you.
The picks there then of Mick Norton looking ahead to the racing at Chester and Newbury. We also have market racing domestically, and it's the final day of the Galway Festival over in Ireland, and we can now go to the Irish Sun's Declan O'Donoghue to hear his best bets.
This is William Hill Racing Radio.
Hi, it's Declan O'Donoghue of the Irish Sun here at Galway. It's been a long week. This is the final day, and we've got four nice tips lined up for you. 2 in the first 2 races and 2 in the last 2. We'll top and tail the meeting nicely. We start in the opener, the 2:15. The one to be on here is number 5, Darwin's Fox. Now, this one was second here on the flat during the week. Indeed, he seems to have a habit of being second, but if he's ever going to win a big race at a big meeting, this is the perfect opportunity. Everything is right from today. Captain Canada, perhaps a bit of a danger, but I think wants a longer trip. Selection, number 5, Darwin's Fox. Next race, 2:45, the top one, Pirate, is the one to be on here. Tony Martin can do nothing wrong all week. This horse, the ground won't be ideal, although they are on kind of fresher ground today, but it won't suit any of them, really. Number 1, Pirate, class act in this race. Now, we go down to the 5 o'clock, and here we look at Jim Budger. Yes, Jim Budger, a top-class flat trainer, a brilliant flat trainer indeed, but he does keep a few bumper horses, and he likes to run them in Galway. And this one, 13, Sukiyaki, earlier in the week, it ran. It was a very controversial finish, a Stewart's Inquiry, a four-way photo finish, everything else. Anyway, he kind of lost out in the shoving there. Should get a clear run for Katie Walsh today. That turned not today, actually. Number 13, Sukiyaki, in the 5 o'clock. Then the last race, the 5:30, the end of a long, long week. And punters who have had a very good week, by the way, will be heading home. And the one for the petrol money is the top one, number 1, Devil's Bride. Now, this one won by 12 lengths in Roscommon. I can tell you, no one from the Willie Mullins yard could speak, because this horse does absolutely nothing at home. But we've seen in these 2 races, he's devastating once he gets to the track. Don't think of opposing him in the last. Number 1, Devil's Bride, the top, the one to get it out in the 5:30. So today then, 2:15, number 5, Darwin's Fox. 2:45, number 1, Pires. 5 o'clock, number 13, Sukiyaki. And the 5:30, number 1, Devil's Bride. Back to top-class flat action at the Curragh next Sunday, including the Phoenix Stakes. Very much looking forward to talking to you then. This is Declan O'Donoghue for of the Irish Sun for William Hill Radio.
So there you go then, Declan O'Donoghue's best bets on the final day of the Galway Festival. We also heard from Mick Norton, and we've got racing at Chester, Newbury and market racing domestically. You'll hear all of the action on Racing Radio from 1:50pm. Stuart Beasley, James Millman and Richie McGraw will be in the studio for a good day of racing to look forward to. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.